I would like to begin today a series of sermons on the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this connection, we'll read together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, the verses 1 through 17. Let us hear the word of God. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Thus far the reading of the Word of God, may He bless the reading and preaching of it to our hearts today. Dear friends, for many believers, the parables of Christ are some of their favorite passages of Holy Scripture. And that is perhaps especially true for children. What child does not love to hear about the parable of the sower, or the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the wise man who built his house on the rock, and the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and so many others? We love to read these stories, and we love to hear them preached. And there are several reasons for this. In the first place, parables are drawn from everyday life, and as such, they are easy to understand and to identify with. We can readily identify with the sower sowing seed, or a shepherd seeking his lost sheep, a fig tree that does not bear fruit, and a treasure hidden in a field. But secondly, parables are very practical. They illustrate for us in a very practical way who is and who is not a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and how one must not enter into that kingdom. But what is a parable? The Greek word for parable comes from a verb which means to throw or place side by side. And it denotes a placing of one thing beside another for the purpose of comparison. One popular definition of a parable is this. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, there's an element of truth in that definition. A parable does indeed make use of earthly things and scenarios to illustrate heavenly or spiritual truth. However, not all parables are stories. I think, for example, of the parable of the dragnet or of the pearl of great price. These can hardly be called stories. What is more, this definition does not do justice to what a parable is and does. A parable is not simply a form of storytelling. Jesus did not tell parables merely to entertain us. He told parables as a method of instruction. And their purpose is to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, what this kingdom is, and how we must enter into it. And as such, they serve a very solemn purpose. But why did Jesus use this particular method of instruction? Why did Jesus teach about the kingdom in parables? That's the question we want to consider in our sermon this morning. The theme for the sermon is, why parables? And we'll see that Jesus teaches in parables, first of all, to reveal, and secondly, to conceal. The words of our text were spoken by the Lord Jesus sometime during his second tour of Galilee. Jesus was in a house close to the Sea of Galilee. According to chapter 13, verse 1, at one point, Jesus proceeded out of the house and sat by the sea. When a great multitude gathered around him to hear him, he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And when the people had assembled together, Jesus told them the parable of the sower in verses 3 through 9. Following this, Jesus told several more parables, the parable of the wheat and the tares in verses 14 through 30, and then the parable of the mustard seed in verses 31 and 32, and then finally the parable of the leaven in verse 33. And after telling these parables, Jesus and the disciples retreated into the house where they were staying, according to verse 36. And when they were in the house, or perhaps on the way to the house, the disciples came to him and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now the disciples asked this question not because Jesus had never told parables before. He most certainly had, several times, in fact. They asked this question because this was the first time Jesus told so many parables. In fact, according to Mark 4, verse 34, he spoke to them nothing but parables. And now the disciples wanted to know why. And in response to their question, Jesus said that you might know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus here speaks of the kingdom of heaven. Now there are two kingdoms in this world. There is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of hell, or the kingdom of Satan. The citizens of the kingdom of heaven are true believers. The head of the kingdom is Christ. The citizens of the kingdom of hell are the wicked and unbelieving, and the head of that kingdom is the devil. Now, both of these kingdoms are diametrically opposed to one another, and they are constantly at war with each other. But in the end, the kingdom of Satan will be destroyed, and the kingdom of God will triumph. And that will take place when Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. Then this earth and everything that is in it will be burned with fire, and Christ will create a new heaven and a new earth, and will live and reign with his people forever. Now regarding this kingdom, Jesus says there are mysteries surrounding it. Normally when we hear the word mystery, we think of something that cannot be explained, an enigma. But that is not what the word means here. The kingdom of God is not something that cannot be explained. If it was, then no one would or even could believe. When Jesus refers to the mysteries of the kingdom, he is referring to aspects about the kingdom that have hitherto remained hidden. They were known only to God, not to men, not even to God's own people. Now there are many such mysteries. One example is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever would have guessed that God's way of redeeming his people from their sins would involve the Son of God assuming our flesh and blood so that he could suffer and die on the cross? I dare say no one did. It was a mystery. It was known only to God. And this is why Jesus told parables, so that by means of these simple illustrations drawn from ordinary life, we might know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now we're reminded here how much the Lord wants us to know about his kingdom. He wants us to know about his kingdom so much that he told parable after parable after parable. And by means of these parables, our Lord explains the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Well, my friend, let me ask you at this point, have the parables also had that effect on your life? How many times have you not read or heard sermons on the parables of Christ? What has been the effect of these parables on you personally? Have they opened your eyes to grasp something of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? Most importantly, have they caused you to see your sin and your need of a Savior? And have they brought you to faith and repentance in Him? You know, the parables leave us with no excuse. No one, after studying the parables of Christ, can stand before God on the day of judgment and say, "Lord, I did not understand. The mysteries of the kingdom were too difficult for me. They were impossible for me to grasp." But the truth is, they are not impossible to grasp. Oh, to be sure, some are more difficult than others. But with a little effort and a little study, all men everywhere can know and understand everything they need to know and understand about the kingdom of God. Sadly, however, not everyone who reads the parables and hears them preached understands them in the right way. To them, the meaning is concealed. And that brings us to our second point. Although the parables clearly reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, not everyone understands them, much less is led to faith through them. To many, their message is concealed. Now, why is that? Well, as we've seen, it is not because the parables are not clear, although admittedly some are more difficult to understand than others. So why then do many not understand them? Well, the reason is because by nature we are spiritually blind and dead. And as such, we are utterly incapable of grasping the most basic spiritual truths, even if these truths are presented in the simplest way possible. There's only one way we can understand the parables and any part of Scripture. God must give us the ability to understand. And that's precisely what Jesus says in verse 11. He says in answer to the disciples' question as to why Jesus taught in parables, Jesus says, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Notice that Jesus here makes a distinction between the disciples and the multitude. The disciples understood the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but the multitude did not. Why? Because God gave them understanding, but He withheld it from the multitude. And He still does the same today. Why is it that some who hear the preaching of the Word of God understand it and respond to it and even come to faith in Christ through it, while others do not? Ultimately, it is because God gave them this understanding and He withheld it from others. Well, that begs the question, why does God give this understanding to some and not to others? Well, some will explain this with reference to the sovereignty of God. And they will say, just as God chooses of mere grace whom He will save and whom He will not save, so He chooses to whom He will give spiritual understanding and to whom He will not. Now, there is, of course, much truth to this, but that is not all that should be said. To say that the reason why some understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and others do not is because God sovereignly bestows this understanding on some and not on others is ultimately to blame God if some do not have this understanding. But this we may never do. God is never to blame if men perish in their sins. The fault lies entirely with them. So how then do we explain this? Why is it that some understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and others do not? The simple reason is because they do not want to. And that's exactly what Jesus says in verse 12. He says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." Jesus here reminds us that when it comes to spiritual matters, standing still is impossible. A person who is exposed to the gospel either gains or loses. He either goes forward or he goes backward. Whoever has, Jesus says, meaning whoever has been given understanding of spiritual matters pertaining to the mysteries of the kingdom of God, that person shall gain even more understanding. Why is that? Because they will strive to learn more. They will read and study the scriptures. They will read good, sound books. They will converse with others who are more experienced in the things of God. In short, they will do everything in their power to grow in their understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom. But whoever does not have, Jesus says, in other words, whoever has not been given understanding of spiritual matters, will lose whatever little spiritual understanding he has. Now, is that not true? How often does it not happen that people who grow up in the church and attended Sunday school only to stop going to church later in life, that within a space of a few short years forget almost everything that they had ever been taught, and they become almost completely ignorant of spiritual matters and the Word of God, and ultimately end up perishing in their sins? It happens all the time. The reason why it happens is not so much because God failed to give them what they needed to understand, much less deliberately prevented them from understanding, but because they themselves refused to take these things to heart. They themselves refused to act on what they have heard. They themselves refused to repent. They themselves refused to believe. They either outrightly rejected the claims of the gospel, or they simply ignored them. Now let this be a warning to us. We are so blessed. We have the Word of God in our own language. We have churches that we may go to where we may hear the Word of God faithfully proclaimed. We have many sound books and other resources to help us grow in knowledge and in grace. But my friend, if we do not make prayerful use of these things, if we simply take them for granted, then whatever knowledge we have of spiritual things will soon disappear, and we will find ourselves in a far worse condition than we were previously. In fact, we may even become hardened in our unbelief. And that's confirmed by the verses that follow, verses 13 through 15. There Jesus is recorded as saying this, and I quote, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." Jesus here is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6 records the vision that Isaiah had in the year that King Uzziah died. That vision he saw of the Lord sitting on his throne in the temple. And we find there that after an angel purged his lips, God sent him to prophesy to the people of Judah. And this is what he was to say. "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." By quoting these words, Jesus was saying that what was true of the people of Judah during the time of Isaiah was also true of the Jews living during his day. They heard the words that Jesus spoke, but they did not understand them. They saw the miracles that he performed, but they did not believe. We see evidence of that in the previous chapter, Matthew chapter 12. The chapter opens with Jesus and the disciples plucking grains of wheat and eating them on the Sabbath day. Later that same day, Jesus healed the man with a withered hand. And the religious leaders of the Jews were incensed. In their view, Jesus had broken the fourth commandment. Later, when Jesus cast out the demon from the blind and mute man, the Pharisees said he did this by the power of Beelzebub. The point is, no matter what Jesus said, and no matter what he did, the Jews refused to believe on him, just as they refused to believe the words of Isaiah. They heard his words, but they did not understand them. They saw his miracles, but they did not believe. Why not? Not in the first place, because God was making it impossible for them to believe, or because he was deliberately hardening their heart. Yes, he was doing this, but only in response to their own unbelief. God hardened their heart because they hardened it themselves. And that's what Jesus says in verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, or we could say become dull. And their ears are dull or hard of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. The reason why the people of Jesus' day heard and did not understand and saw but did not believe was because they themselves had hardened their own hearts. They steadfastly refused to believe what was so obviously true. And God confirmed them in this. We see the same pattern with Pharaoh of Egypt. First, Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and then God hardened it further. Oh, let this be a warning to us as we begin this series on the parables of the kingdom. In these parables, Christ does two things. He reveals and he conceals. He reveals much about the kingdom, and most importantly, how we may enter into this kingdom. But he also conceals this from those who do not make every effort to hear and to see, and eventually makes it impossible for them to do so. And so as we begin this series together, let us pray fervently that God would open our hearts so that hearing we may hear and seeing we may see, lest we also harden our hearts and perish as the Jews who came before us. Jesus ends his explanation with a benediction in verses 16 and 17. He says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." Jesus here pronounces a blessing on those who are receptive to his teaching. Why? Well, he tells us, because many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that they see and to hear the things that they hear. Jesus here was referring to the saints of the Old Testament. He reminds us that they desire to see the things that we see and hear the things that we hear more than anything else in the world. And they could not because they lived before these things came to pass. Oh, to be sure, they caught glimpses of these things, but we have seen them in full. And therefore, if we believe them, we are blessed. My friend, do you count yourself blessed today? Does it mean more to you than anything else in the world that you have the completed revelation of God? That you, like the people of Jesus' day, have through the Word heard his words and have seen his miracles? That you, through the Word, have seen him die on the cross of Calvary? That you, through the Word, have seen him laid in the grave? That you, through the Word, have seen him rise triumphant over death? That you, through the Word, have seen him ascend up into heaven? That you, through the Word, know that one day he is coming again to judge the living and the dead? These are the great mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Do you believe them? Have they brought you to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, if so, Jesus says you are blessed. Blessed more than Abraham, more than Isaac, more than Jacob, more than the prophets, more than all of the saints of the Old Testament combined. For you have seen what they desired to see but could not. And you have heard what they desired to hear but could not. And one day you shall see him face to face. And you will hear the sound of his voice. And you will live before him to all eternity. Oh, may the Lord hasten that glorious day. Amen. Dear friends, we are always pleased to hear from our listeners. If you were blessed by the message you have heard today, or if you were blessed by previous messages on this program, please let us know. Our mailing address is The Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N. And that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio, that's all one word, bannerofTruthRadio.com. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.